Rusty Quill presents.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Greetings, friends. We gather together on this solemn occasion to mourn our loss and to celebrate the life of our fallen comrade. Riot was known across the Fifth Collide as its most infamous influencer, but her raucous reputation belied humble beginnings. She was born in a remote area of the Goodon Wilds to analog parents who called her simply Rye. At an early age, she developed a fascination with androids, who were somewhat rarer in her corner of the world. It was this interest that sparked Riot's first of many acts of rebellion. At the age of 13, she ran away from home to witness a procession of young androids on their Creation Point journey, and followed them on their trek toward the Cold Breaks, stopping in the city of Sodium, where she found work under the leader of a local gang of scrappers. Here, Riot also found a sense of belonging, for a time. After witnessing the brutal murder of their gang leader by her own partner, the savage scrapper Scavenge, Riot struck out on her own. Despite the associated taboos, or perhaps because of them, Riot soon fulfilled her ambition to become a modded human and gain some notoriety for her bravely brazen disregard of the social norms surrounding mods. Truly, Riot made her name upsetting the social order of the Fifth Collide, initially gaining fame for being able to break into any party, no matter who was on the guest list. But with her chaos, she brought joy and freedom, and her celebratory disruptions became the most anticipated part of any event. Indeed, it was not truly a party unless Riot deigned to crash it. But her public persona merely scratched the surface of Riot the person. Yes, she was allure and she was anarchy, but she was also deft, deadly hands and a curious, crafty mind. Rare was the lock that Riot could not pick or the target she could not hit. She was an inspired inventor. Many of her mods were of her own design. And it was she who first crafted the rare drug Scalafaxa, prolonged exposure to which is said to grant the user magical abilities. And though Riot knew hardship, she remained unflinchingly courageous and unfailingly compassionate. Riot's parents perished, tragically, before she could see them again, and before they could tell her her true name. But by her courage and compassion, she found chosen family. It was by these same virtues that she was able to defeat Scavenge where none other could, ending his violence and depravity. And it was these virtues that led her to sacrifice her very life to prevent the suffering of Lux Booker's many thralls. Riot was many things to many people. Influencer and musician, party crasher and drug dealer, instrument to be used and force to be reckoned with. But, above all, she was a fiercely loyal friend. And now, she is gone. But though she is finally free from the bondage of this world, Riot will forever live in the hearts of those who loved her. Riot is survived by her closest friends, which is precisely how she wanted it.
All right, so Riot walks into the room slowly and deliberately, with complete ease of being in this room full of people. She stops at the doorway in a very flattering pose and stretches her body, kind of inviting the eyes of everybody around her. And then she ignores them all and walks right into the room with a very certain and powerful walk, kind of like a lion. I mean, I've been in situations like this before. All I know is that you just don't talk to cops.
Snitches get stitches.
You just can't talk to cops. Exactly. Just don't talk to them. There's nothing, they don't have anything on us.
Don't talk to cops.
Literally, I don't have to do anything. If Boy Baccarat tries to go after Celestine while he's already dead, can he, like, kill him for good?
If Boy Baccarat does an attack on an unconscious person, basically they lose a death saving throw.
Oh, okay. I'm going to short sword him. I'm going to run up to him and just jam it through him.
Riot.
Yes.
How would you like to deal Boy Baccarat's hand?
Yes.
I'm going to like...
Are you going to kill him?
Yeah, I'm going to... Sorry. Okay, I'm going to run up to him, cut off both of his hands, and then slide my short sword right in the middle of him and twist until he's down on the ground. And I notice one of his cards is down on the ground next to him. I pick it up and throw it in his face as he lies dying.
Celestine takes his hat off and looks at Riot and says, Scavenge said over and over, what did you do to me? Was right, you did nothing. He did this to himself. You know that, yes?
Thank you.
Celestine hugs Riot.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think Critter has stopped hugging Riot.
I grip them both tightly, Critter and Celestine, and I don't have a lot of words, but I say to them, I would do anything to keep you two safe.
Me too.
Yeah. We're family.
I love you.
Oh, Riot, our dearest darling, how we will miss you.
I can hear you. I am listening.
From all across the Fifth Kalai.
Oh, how I miss you, my dearest darling. I miss
the clockwork. The networks.
Oh,
these metropolises, these
potent.
Oh, the fun and games we have planned.
But always with
the promise that we are on a blinding path of success. You will be tried.
You will be.
But do not despair.
You will
see the world. You will
know
Planet Arcana.
You will find.
All it takes is a friend.
All it takes is perseverance.
All it takes
is a key.
Out of Celestine's pocket, Simon tumbled. Into a small crack in the earth he fell, and he stretched, and he expanded, and he transformed into a young man. A young man of overlarge eyes, pointed ears, blue-black hair, slightness of form, and nakedness of stature. Here on the outskirts of Lonestead, hot, sunny, clay-toned, and isolated, here you find yourself staring agape at Simon, your formerly minor fey, and now newly human traveling companion. And he stares back.
Hi!
What the hell?
What? Did I do something wrong?
Well, I mean, no, but you were a spider like a second ago.
Oh, totally.
You do realize that your bits are out right now, right?
My bits? Oh, have you seen these? Do you have these?
Seen it? You know? I'm not sure.
Well, yes, but they're stored differently.
Playing with them, sorry.
Oh, I think that was very clear.
Okay, you said, so, sorry. This feels crazy. So you said my bits are out. Should they not be out?
Ideally, yeah.
How do I put them back in?
Sorry, who are you exactly?
This excellent, yes, let's start there.
Is that insensitive to ask?
I'm Simon. I'm Simon the Spider. It's me.
Are you typically a spider?
Well, I'm a fae, I think.
What do you mean you think?
Well, I don't look like me, and I've looked like a lot of things.
Like what? What else besides a spider?
Like impervious light? Like the fronds of a tree? I've looked like a thousand year long reflection before, actually, and that was pretty cool. But mostly, I tend towards spider or field mouse. That's a cute one. It's nice.
So you can just be whatever you want to be?
Well, I couldn't be this.
So why are you this now?
I don't know. It's so weird. I don't even know what. Like, what was I thinking? What I was doing? What are your names?
Of course. Where are my manners?
Oh, we haven't done this in a while. Hi, I'm Crater Wayne to the moon.
Celestine Wanderoff. Nice to meet you.
Pleased to meet you?
Yeah, we came up with it a long time ago. I usually have wheat. I'm out of wheat, and it was just kind of a thing, and it stuck.
Those are awesome. Can I have one?
Later.
Sorry, we were in the middle of something. So, Celestine, Wanderoff, and Crater Wayne.
And just Simon?
Is your name actually Simon? I know that that's what Ms. Riot called you while you were a spider, but...
Riot.
Is there something else that you like to be called?
I would call myself anything that Riot called me.
All right, yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, no, my name is Simon Spider. It's not exactly apropos anymore, but I think that's still my name, so.
Oh, all right, we will address you however you choose.
Thanks.
Simon, but I just want to... Step back for a second there. You sounded when you said Riot's name like you knew her well.
Well, It's one of those things, isn't it? Where, you know, like you can see someone's whole soul just by touching them. You know what I'm talking about.
Celestine takes a step back, so he's out of touch range.
Just, there's something so good about Riot. And like, I could taste it. I could taste it just by like being near her. And like, some of the memories that I caught of her is like, she was just so good. And I feel like physically really bonded to her. And I'm so sad about what happened. And then some other weird things. I don't really remember too much, but I remember there not being a riot anymore and keeping one of her hairs close. And then I felt a flash of something, and then I woke up and then tumbled over, and now I'm this. I don't know. What do you make of it?
I think Celestine wipes a tear away.
Well, you were certainly right that that riot was good, and it is sad that she's gone. We're all sad that she's gone. So we have that in common, at least.
Not gone. Never gone. I mean, she's rippling still.
Sorry? What do you mean by rippling?
Well, can't you still feel her? Maybe it's a fae thing, but, you know, when someone goes, it's... Nothing ever is ultimately destroyed. Still graspable.
That's a nice perspective to have.
I agree. Thank you for that, Simon.
Yeah, it's just the facts. So, what should we do? Can I stay with you?
Oh, my stars. Well,
I'm going to look at Celestine.
I don't
fucking know.
Please. Come on, you're friends with Riot. She's like my literal favorite in the whole wide world. So obviously you're going to be good as well.
Riot liked this fae thing, but it's like...
The fae thing.
What do we do with it? What do we do with...
He's naked and it's weird.
Him.
Sorry. Point of order. Yeah, Simon. Sorry. He, him?
Yeah. Is that... That'll work.
Okay.
Whatever, though.
Back to our huddle.
What even is he?
I don't know.
We're going to be trapped playing Truth or Dare for fucking ever.
All right. Hold on. One second. Simon.
Simon's on the ground looking at the bottom of his foot.
Simon, look, we have not exactly decided yet what to do about you, but we want to get this clear right off the bat that there will be unequivocally no truth or dare.
Well, I can't promise that.
Okay. We walked right into that. Okay.
What's life but a series of truth or dare?
Crater, if I just cast pass without trace, we might just be able to slip right away.
Have you guys seen the like little marks on the bottom of your away. Feet and your fingers? Do you have those?
This guy's gonna fucking die by himself over here, though.
I mean, maybe he just turns into something else and he'll be fine. Like, I don't...
He's going to get so sunburned. He has no clothes on.
Yeah, he has no clothes on.
See how pasty this guy is?
I don't. I suppose Riot would want us to bring him along, keep taking care of him.
Riot trusted him. Granted, he was a spider. Let's at least get him into town, make sure he's safe.
Let's get him and his bits. Let's keep him outside of town. All right, let's make sure that town doesn't see him. And frankly, Crater, I don't have much interest in running into people right now. I'm not feeling up for a reunion with the folks of Lonestead. I just want to get to Mom and Pa's farm, ideally unnoticed if we can. It's been a long couple days. I don't want to talk to anybody.
I get it.
Let's just take the long way around. We can, you know, if we skirt the town, it'll take us a little while longer, but we can still make it to the farm. And, well, I mean, of course, we'll bring Simon, and then once we get there, we'll figure out what to do with him.
Okay. Yeah. We owe it to Riot to make sure he gets someplace safe. We're not going to leave him out here. Do you have, like, a spare, like, bandana or something to... put around his bits so it's not dangling.
I had exactly one bandana and I laid it to rest with Miss Riot.
Fair enough. Okay.
Celestine takes off his cowboy hat and hands it to Simon.
Just put this
in front of your bits.
Does this man come with you?
Yes, Simon, you can come with us.
For now, you are coming with us.
All right, okay.
Oh, wow, you're holding that up with no hands. That's fucking incredible.
You two won't regret it. I'll be the best travel buddy you could have asked for. This is going to be awesome.
I'm beginning to think I need a new hat.
Are you... Do you need food? Do you eat?
You know, I don't know.
Okay.
DMs, do Faze eat?
You know, with this new body, I bet you're feeling a little empty. Like you've eaten spider-sized for a long time.
Right. Yeah. It feels really different in this body, but yeah, I guess that's what the empty thing is, right? Like the... Inside?
Yeah, we call that hunger.
Okay, then yes, I am hungry.
You're going to want to do that about 5 to 7 times a day.
to 7 times a day? I mean, maybe somebody of your size, Crater, but come on now, 5 to 7 times?
Amazing news.
Okay.
Let's go eat.
All right. Well,
all right.
There will be plenty of food at Mom Pa's.
Mom Pa?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Oh, okay, well.
We have so much to explain.
Right,
we have
a lot to explain to you. Let's go.
Can we get like a little physical descriptor of Simon? Like, is it like roughly how tall is he?
Yeah.
How, you know, like what's
I'd say he's like 6'1", has like a longish hair out front, but like you can see the nape of his neck still, but like really long in the bangs area. He's like about, I'd say like 22, appears 22-ish, light boned, a bit on the scrawny side. And he's kind of wild looking, like almost uncanny valley, but like very pleasing to look at, like a little bit of like almost, and I don't mean this in like a twilight kind of way, but there's like a little bit of a sparkle underneath his skin. I really don't like a twilight way. This is the skin of a killer.
You saying it not in a twilight way is going to make everyone think it's a
there's literally
way.
No other way to
okay,
say it.
Well,
now.
Okay. I meant more like, you know, when you're on mushrooms. Can I say this?
Yeah, we don't swear or anything on this podcast.
You're right.
Please keep it entirely.
You know when you're on mushrooms and you look up in a tree at the leaves moving in the wind and it's kind of sparkly?
Totally.
Yeah, like that. Yeah.
I can see it. In my mind's eye.
He's not the cleanest either.
Oh, granted, yeah. Yes.
But he could use some clothes, I guess.
Well, I'm not entirely sure that Mom and Pa are going to have anything that fits somebody of your size, but I'm sure there's something that we can do once we get there, and until then, let's just do what we can to keep you out of sight.
That's cool. I got this hat.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
On the way to the farm, if we're staying outside of town and whatnot, it doesn't seem like we would catch Simon up on literally everything that's happened, because at this point, you know, we don't really know what Simon's deal is. But what do you think, Crater? What do you think this level of detail we go into with Simon?
I don't think we're talking about like the box and the Arcana this early. I'm Crater Wayne. I'm old.
I'm old.
I'm nice. I'm big. that's kind of me, elevator pitch.
Old, nice, and big.
Nice and big. Well, put that on my fucking tombstone. Nice and big. I like that.
Oh,
nice and big.
Jesus. Yeah. All right. Okay. The basic stuff then.
Okay.
I think Simon will figure stuff out as we go.
Yeah.
I am kind of obsessed with Simon asking if he should wear stuff, because he was confronted with one android wearing full clothes, one android wearing no clothes, so absolutely a super reasonable question to ask. Point of order also, you've noted that you're going to like walk and talk, etc., but you do still have the hawk. It's just grounded for now. It'll take a little bit of elbow grease, but you could, if you all wanted to push... get it to Ma and Pa's. So your option here is to leave it where you landed and like come back for it at some point, or everybody in and push it to the farm.
Hell no. We need to get this thing to the farm. We'll cover it in like leaves and stuff so no one can see it from above. But we've gone through so much to get this hawk. We're not just going to leave it here.
Especially because it is a Diplo vehicle. We don't really want to draw unnecessary attention.
Yeah, like, sorry, on the side of the hawk, does it just say, like, Diplo, like, unit, like, S172 or something? Like,
sure.
Sure. Okay. Great point, actually.
I'm glad I asked, I guess.
It says it in the bright letters, actually.
The okay, PGPD?
Great. Yeah.
Pear Garden PD.
That's what's up. There's an identifying marker on it and everything, so probably in your best interest to push it along.
Okay. Well, push with your backs.
Not with the knees.
Lock the knees, got it.
You push it along just like the story. You push. And then on the horizon, you spy the tall, moisture-capturing water silos that Pa built about a 20-minute walk north of Lonestead. Well, 20-minute walk if you're not pushing a hawk. So let's call it about an hour or so. And you set off. Seeing Lonestead even from the outskirts is certainly a powerful nostalgic blow for you, Celestine, but Ma and Pa's farm is a whole other thing. You know all the shortcuts. And so as you approach, you first take your companions through a field of weed. The tall stalks sway over your head, and as you look up, you can see occasional low-floating pillow-sized clouds that stand out against the perfectly clear sky. They move neatly along each row, raining steadily over the crop. Ma's druid magic. You occasionally pass small robots with many spindly arms, and as they move about, they examine each bud and pull bugs from the leaves. One of Pa's mechanical helpers. Next, you hop a fence into the dino paddock, and a few familiar triceratops nuzzle and coo at you as you pass by. Finally, you clear the herd, and the farmhouse is finally visible, and from a distance you spy, swinging on the porch with a book and a joint in hand, your old Ma. She's just as you left her, Celestine. Sharp-eyed, plump, and fearsome, with a pile of salt and pepper hair atop her head, work boots on, even though Pa hates them in the house, overalls cut off at the knees, and a loud, neatly tucked floral shirt. Seeing you, she drops her joint and stands, her expression caught between shock and joy, before her hands plant firmly on each hip, and she calls out,
Celestine Wanderoff, you had your Pa worried sick!
And before you can answer, she runs towards you. You are pulled into a hug and smothered with her familiar smell, earth, fresh weed, and rosemary soap.
Oh, my boy, my son. Oh, my goodness. Celestine. Celestine
is hugging her back so tightly, and just like whatever composure he'd regained after putting Riot to rest, he loses again now that he's, you know, back with his Ma, and just can't even speak for a second, just kind of cries into her shoulder for a bit and hugs her real, real tight.
Oh, son. Oh, geez. Oh, you've been through it, huh? Oh, you poor. Hi there. I'm Ma. Nice to... Oh, Celestine, now it's all right there, son.
I'm sorry, Ma. Sorry. This is, where am I? I plumb forgot my manners. This big fella here is he's my best friend in the whole world. This is Crater Wayne.
It is such a pleasure to meet you. I've heard so much about you. You have raised the most excellent guy here. He's saved my ass so many times. Pardon the language. I didn't mean to curse in the first sentence I say to you, but I'm nervous. I'm nervous to meet you.
I think she claps your hand and gives it like a vigorous, like overly strong shake. It kind of surprises you. And she's just like, my son's best friend is my best friend, sir. And golly, I can't wait to get to know you.
And this other fella here who is rather in need of some clothes is... Simon, who we met very recently,
Ma!
And that is a long story that I will tell you.
Simon throws himself at Ma and gives her a big hug.
Okay.
We're going to be really good friends, Ma. Oh,
man. Once we get past this whole nudity thing, I have no doubt that we're going to be thick as thieves here, Simon. Now,
my bits.
Yeah, your bits. You did drop the hat there, child.
Sorry, Ma.
That's all right. It's nothing. You know, nothing I ain't seen on the farm many times.
Speaking of, this place is absolutely beautiful.
Oh, you think so? Well, me and Pa sure have put a lot of work in it over the years. Speaking of which, Pow! What? Pow! Come on over here. Pow, come on over. You're going all see this.
I'm busy.
Oh, no, here's the hat, Mr. Simon. You just cover your bits. Pow!
What?
I'm not playing.
What's going on? I'm busy.
Just come on out here and see. You want a room of surprise? Come on, Pow.
Christ's sake.
From inside the house, you hear some stomping coming down a set of stairs. And from behind Ma, she's standing on the porch, and you can see into the front door, and you see him come down the stairs. And Celestine Pa is likewise just as you left him. Short, paunchy, erratic, and mostly bald, with white tufts of hair poking out at every angle. He raises his welder's goggles to peer at you through large Coke bottle glasses, vibrating and sputtering as he tries to rid himself of his large welder's gloves. Though he's not much taller than you, Celestine, he nearly knocks you over when he embraces you, all engine oil aftershave and the twangy scent of metal. But after just a moment, however, he stiffens and pulls away.
Am I glad to see you?
And before you can even muster a reply, he adds, I gotta get to the garage. I got things cooking. And he slinks away, posture tense, and Ma puts a hand on Celestine's shoulder.
Now, you just leave him be for now, all right, Celestine? Things are... He's in his feelings.
What's wrong, Ma? What's going on?
Well, it's a mighty hard thing to hear you taking the stage and going up there making us so proud and then... Well, the entire sector vanishes under a massive tidal wave, and then your old mom, Pa, well, we don't hear nothing from you for days, weeks even. Just give him some time. It'll be fine, Celestine.
I know, Ma. I'm so sorry that I didn't reach out sooner, but we did, well, we came almost directly here after we made it out of Paragarden. But,
Oh.
Well, Ma, you see, we lost a friend.
Oh. Oh, honey.
I suppose you know that we were keeping company with Riot, and, Ma couldn't save her.
Oh, now, Celestine, come here.
And he just jumps back into Ma's arms for another hug.
I wager that's not even the half of what y'all been through, but I can't tell you how sorry I am that you went out into the world and... experienced your first great loss, and my condolences to you too, Crater and Simon, and well, y'all must be just exhausted.
That is an understatement. We sure would like to come in and rest a while, but you think we can hide this in Pa's garage? Point the hawk.
Now, I wasn't going to say nothing. Emotions are high, but is that a deep low serial number I spy on the side of that there hawk, Celestine?
It is.
And now how disappointed should I be?
You should be very proud of your son, if you were to ask me. He stole this all by himself.
Oh, he stole it all by himself? Just on his own? Well, I suppose there's some pride that an old Ma can take him back. Like, I'm not all about jumping right into the lecture. You and I are going to have a serious talk about personal property later, but for now...
Well, it's government property, really.
We do pay taxes, technically.
Do you?
Property is theft, Ma.
Well, I reckon we got some philosophical discussions in our future. But for now, why don't we take Simon up to your old room and get him some to cover his bits? It's going to be a little short. You're taller than both me and Celestine, but we'll get your bits covered there. Don't you worry there, darling.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, Simon, just so you know, like no one's like disgusted by your bits or anything. It's just like, it's just kind of what
no,
we do.
They're awesome.
We gotta cover them, okay?
Have you seen them?
I just want to make sure you weren't feeling self-conscious about the whole thing. It's
Oh, no, not at all. I don't feel that. Like, okay. I don't know if I've ever felt that.
Okay.
But thank you. Wow. That's really nice.
Great. I'm just gonna pat Simon on the shoulder and be like, all right, okay. All right.
Well, all right. That's some mighty pointy ears you got there, Simon.
Thank you.
In any case, all right. We got some, I got some bean salad on the stove. And, I can have a cup of coffee ready in under 15 minutes. So why don't we have ourselves accommodate as we can and maybe, Paul!
What?
You come on in here for dinner and be bean salad,
off it now.
Ah, just have unintelligible yells from the garage.
Well, I love that man. All right, come on now, y'all.
Critter tears up at hearing that just a little bit. That was really sweet.
Celestine is grinning ear to ear. It's so nice to be back home among this. You know, it's so familiar and happy.
Yeah. I think as we're like walking towards the house, I'll put a hand on Celestine's shoulder and give him a little squeeze, like I'm happy for him.
Yeah, I squeeze you right back. Real glad that you're here, Critter. I wish the circumstances were different, but I really love that you're meeting Mom and Pa.
Are you kidding me? I wouldn't miss this for the world. And who knows, this might just be a little dose of what we need, right?
It is certainly what I need. Let's have some bean salad.
Oh, maybe there's some bean oil.
Hey, Celestine, thank you for taking me home to meet your family. I didn't realize that Mom and Pa were family.
Yeah, well, it's like, they're like... Well, they are family. There's no question about it. But they found me, or rather, I found them. I kind of just wandered in from the nothing one day and showed up on their doorstep. And, well, I mean, it's, you know, you can see how they are. They just took me right in, and I stayed with them for a while. And they, well, they just treated me like I was... Like I was their son from the day I was made, and so they're family, and I've never seen them turn anybody away, so you're most welcome here, Simon.
Sounds like family to me.
Planet Arcana! Planet Arcana! Planet Arcana! It's funny, it's musical, it's dramatic, and the fun doesn't end with the podcast. Come on down to the Planet Arcana official Patreon, folks. Does this sound familiar to you?
Oh, I'm all caught up on Planet Arcana, but I just can't get enough of these ridiculous antics.
Or have you ever experienced this classic pickle?
Oh, jeez. I wish I could get a Planet Arcana episodes a day early.
Well, B, stop struggling with that plastic wrap and visit www.patreon.com/planetarcana now. The Planet Arcana Patreon, where listeners can support the creators and gain access to all the perks a body needs.
What kind of perks?
Glad you asked, B. It's a veritable cornucopia of treats, including early access to ad-free episodes, access to digital downloads, access to members-only channels in the official Planet Arcana Discord.
Wow, that sounds...
But that's not all. Patrons can also receive monthly episodes of Planet Arcana's very special talkback show, Recharge, where the Planet Arcana crew get deeply intimate and intimately silly while they spill the beans on Planet Arcana's behind the scenes.
Yowza, that's a...
But that's
of...
not all. Planet Arcana have recently launched several brand new membership tiers with all new perks, including exclusive Planet Arcana merchandise and an artwork club where patrons receive a brand new piece in the mail every month.
Wow, whoa,
but that's not all. Other Planet Arcana tiers heat things up even more by offering custom voice messages from the cast and even a tier that allows you and your friends to have a TTRPG session hosted for you by Jay and B themselves.
Golly, I can't
But
believe.
That's not all. Don't sleep on Planet Arcana's merch store featuring several dazzling designs for t-shirts, crew necks, and hoodies. Find the link to the Planet Arcana merch store at PlanetArcana.com.
All right, well, I'm typing it in right now.
And that's not all. Visit Patreon.com/PlanetArcana in the next 15 minutes or literally at any time to see if becoming a Planet Arcana patron is right for you. This offer does not expire.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Can we get an outfit check on what Simon ended up picking from Celestine's closet? Oh, <Lord. laughs>
Okay. I guess maybe we tag team this. Like, what would you say, Peter, about, like, you know, those little, like, knit cowboy, like, the button-down shirts with the little, like, the sewn in, like a horse on the two lapels, like, on the two shoulders. Like, they're two little hobby horses.
Oh, God, that's so cute.
It's light blue, and it's not long enough.
Little crop top.
Yeah, it's little
May
crop
I
top.
Pitch something?
Yes.
Since we are in the Good on Wilds, perhaps instead of horses, a type of dinosaur?
Oh. Yo, that's a very good point.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, my God. You know what they are? They're little T-Rexes with cowboy hats on.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yes, they are. Of course they are.
Oh, that looks so handsome on you. That used to be Celestine's favorite right up until Reap. Well, he roasted you hard about that shirt, didn't he, Celestine? Oh, my goodness, Reap Jangler. I completely forgot. He is going to be beside himself here in your back in town.
Oh, you don't two, tell
you
Reap
two have
I'm
always
in town.
Been just the best of friends. Yeah. Well, let me just call but up the Ma? Jangler farm. Let them
no,
know.
No, don't you dare. Ma, please, what? No, please, no, don't.
Now, why not? I know y'all had your differences and a couple of scuffles. I had to pull
differences.
You apart, but...
Reap is a slimy, cheating, no good piece of scrap. I don't want to talk to him.
Now you gotta put that cheating race stuff behind you if you're gonna make up with your best friend while you're in town.
That he is not my best friend, Ma. All right, Crater here is my best friend, and there
well,
is
that's right.
And
I'm his best friend.
I don't even like Reap. Reap is he's bad. And I don't want to talk to him.
Oh, this is bringing back memories. Oh, Reap is bad. I don't like him. You too.
Celestine, I'll jump into a rage if you need me to.
Yeah. Tell me Crater, you just hold that right there. Okay. Because if Reap shows up, I want us all to jump into a rage.
You got it, buddy.
All right. Okay. Your old Ma can take you in. All right. I'm not going to call Reap. Now, am I to understand that this is... You don't want me to tell anybody that y'all's in town?
At least not right now, Ma. I mean, I just... It's been a real hard few days.
All right, I get it, son. Look, I know that you got... I can tell that you got some stories to tell me, but you're just taking your time. And, well, we're just going to get to know Crater and Simon here. And, Simon, you just look so handsome. So handsome in that there crop top. The bits are still out, so we got some work to do.
Simon, like, struts out of the room and down the hallway, looking around kind of, like, fiendishly. And... I think finds Ma and Pa's room and opens some of the chest of drawers, just rummaging through, and comes back out before they can all get in there with him and says, "Can I wear this?" And holds up a pencil skirt.
Oh, child, you must have dug far back in my closet to find that one. I ain't worn that since my 18th Jubilee. Now, you are absolutely welcome to that. It's going to be a mite shorter.
That's okay. Thanks, Ma.
Well, you're mighty welcome, and you do look just fantastic.
Thank you.
Is it long enough to cover the bits?
Yeah, like, that was my question, too.
You say mid-thigh? Mid-thigh. That's okay.
Beautiful.
Is it long enough to cover the bits?
There is a slit up the back, though.
Oh, my God. Fucking permanently walking around with Sharon Stone in Basic Instinct, just always crossing and uncrossing his legs.
I literally cannot wait to draw this. You know when you meet someone's new D&D character and you immediately have to find out how hung they are?
Mid-thigh Creeper's question still stands. So yeah, no, not the head. Not covering.
Okay. Jesus Christ.
Sorry. You can cut that out.
No, I'm
no, it's staying in. If you say cut it out, stay it in. That's just the rules.
Pa wanders into the kitchen where supposedly we're having like the montage of like Simon coming out, trying stuff, going back. Pa wanders in and is just like, "Hey, Ma, we got a new milk around here." And he's like rummaging through the fridge.
"Well, I don't know. Did you milk the ceratops today or no?"
"Oh, jeez.
Ain't my day."
"I thought it was your... Fine, I'll go milk the goddamn triceratops." And as he's saying that, he like turns around and sees Simon and just sees the
the skirt that he remembers Ma wearing. Just like, you see a million memories flooding.
I'm gonna go milk the Tracer top. And he's out.
Did you, Paul, do you want some help? Oh, he's gone. Is he, Ma, is he real mad?
Look, son, love knows no logic. And right now, I think where your Pa's head at is that you were in danger and he needs someone to blame. And, well, ain't no one to blame for a tsunami. So I guess right now he's right now we don't know who to blame. He's a little bit Pa-ish. But just give him some time. He'll come out the other side of this.
All right. I certainly didn't mean to make y'all worry. I know I didn't stay in touch as often as I should have, but I promise you it's been an interesting time since I left y'all. We have been, well, we've been very busy, haven't we, Crater?
Boy, do we have some stories to tell you.
Oh, well, maybe I'll roll myself up a joint and I can hear some of these stories. And y'all, he's acting a little stanky now, but y'all should have seen how proud Pa was to see y'all up there, especially the Jangler song. He taught that to you in your first month here, Celestine.
Would that be the Wrangler song, Ma?
let me just take that again.
I kind of liked it.
We were recently sued by Jeep, so we had to change the name of the song.
All right, I'm gonna go with what I done said back then there, Celestine. He was so darn proud, and, well, all you were just amazing up there.
He taught me that song. That was for him as much as anybody.
He knows it. He knows it, son.
Well, I'm sure glad I could make you all proud, you know.
We ain't never stopped being proud, Celestine. Now, I was proud of some stories.
I think, I don't know, like, look at Crater and just kind of, like look for permission to tell the whole thing.
Where do you even start, right? I mean, like, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to sit here with Ma and just drink coffee and smoke a joint and tell her basically everything that's happened since I left.
Okay, so the whole thing started when Crater and Riot were hired to steal a little statue of a doggy from Riskotech Casino down in Tropo Neo Vega, and they brought me on to be their getaway driver.
From the top of a casino?
Hawks sang a song, and it was real
daddy
weird.
Palm legs.
Transported to Aquacatch by two idiots in a hip-hop band.
Okay.
A guy named Aqualung really liked Riot and was so annoying, so we had to send him the
guys. Then Effigy told you about her ugly foot.
To be Riot's boyfriend. And he showed up and tried to
save Effigy.
We saved a cloud android named Garbazine from Gator Gross. Uh-huh. He had some info on Scavenge, so we brought him along and ended up being pretty good pals with him, although...
At this point, fairly well acquainted with Uncle Edict.
You're kidding.
I've met and spoken to the man several times, and he's...
All right, stop now. You're pulling the leg.
XMC of Riskotech, and she tried to kill him.
Took
you did what?
A teleportation circle all the way to the cold breaks.
So these ghosts turned into the moon at one point, and, like, we had to
met
fight.
Met up with Crater's old pal Pacemaker and his partner Snowshoe in Midmorph?
Into the networks, like, on purpose, and find somebody there and, you know, do something, like, weaken him. And that's what
we
did to that Scavenge.
Vehicle chase with Scavenge?
Wow.
And then you rammed an owl into him?
Oh, my.
Then Riot got the killing blow in Scavenge?
Oh, my.
And then the box sang again?
Oh, my.
Then Celestine recognized the song and voice from a previous flashback.
Eastwind is in danger because she is a thrall of a big daddy named Feratu named Lux.
Oh, you tried to kill Vlad, who was a weenie, but he was too strong.
Wait, who's Vlad?
Oh, yeah, Vlad was a real weenie.
Yeah.
Now, you watch your language. But he sure sounds
but
like
Ma,
a weenie.
He was a weenie.
Vlad the weenie.
He has a certain ring to it. What happened after that?
Well, we faced a names for Atu that was not such a weenie. And he had a power over our friend Riot. And so we tried to free her and everybody else that he had control over. And we did, you know, we did it. But in the doing of it, Riot gave up her life so that nobody else would get hurt. And then when that was all done, I couldn't bring her back, Ma. I tried it just like in your books. I know it. I know all those spells. And Ma, I am so much stronger than when I left. I've learned so much. I can do so much more. But I couldn't do that.
Well, Celestine, if you know that spell, and if you know yourself, and if you know magic as well as I think you do, then I think you know that ain't nothing you can do if there ain't conscious choice to come back. And now who are you to tell Raya what the parameters of her life should be? She sounds like a woman who knows her stuff, knows herself. Can I ask, did you tell her about Simon?
Yes, absolutely. I think that we definitely need to explain the Simon situation.
Yeah, address the fae in the room.
Exactly.
That is a trunk.
And now...
God damn it.
And now, if Miss Riot was the woman that she sounds like she was, seems to me like she left y'all behind exactly what she thought y'all would need.
Me?
That's my thinking.
Well, you might be right, Ma. And maybe Simon here is the way that he is because that's what Riot wanted. But, well, it don't matter no more. I'm done. All this...
You're done?
Yeah. I can't... I don't know, Ma. It's just so big. And I didn't want to get mixed up in any of this. I just wanted to know what happened to me. I just wanted my memories back and maybe know who my maker was. But this is all... It's so much, I don't even fully understand what it is that we started. And I just know that I can't see anything like what happened to Riot happened to anybody else that I care about. And if I can't bring somebody back, then I'm not going looking for danger.
I think she kind of squints at you for a bit and takes a big pass at the joint and then turns to Crater and passes the joint to him. And she's like, is that how you feel too, big guy?
I promised him I'd get him here. He told me he was done a couple of days ago.
Well, what about you? Sounds like there's part of your story yet to be told.
I mean, Celestine, I'm happy that you're home, but I might take a couple days here, Ma, if that's okay, just to kind of rest and gather my thoughts and maybe get a good meal or two in. Then I'm gonna try and finish this thing. I promised Riot that I would do that. Make sure no one else got hurt. And like, I'm not gonna force you to continue. And like, I don't know, but part of me is kind of glad that you'll be staying back. So that means you won't be in harm's way. But I don't know. I'm not stupid. I know I'm coming to the end here. I only got a
crater.
Good couple years left, right? So might as well use it to try to do something good.
Don't you think that Riot would want you to be safe?
Riot sacrificed herself to save people that she didn't even know. I'm inspired by that. That's a hero's death if there ever was one. I've done some shitty things in my life. I'm not naive. I don't know, we've had this mantra of 50% good, 50% evil. I was evil for a long time. So I'm gonna try and balance the scales.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
This life path plot line is brand new to me, listening to it here for the first time. And I love it. I think I'm your biggest fan. Like 50% good, 50% evil. Are you kidding me? You can't write that. I guess you can write that. But all the things that you've been through, like what else is there to life if not a big story? What is anything made of if not a million different stories?
That is an excellent point, Simon.
And you're going to give up on that? On whatever's to come together? I don't know if you have an option. I can hear it in you, Crater and Celestine. I think you're bigger than you know.
I don't know. I don't know what I am, Simon. But I know that I do have an option, and I don't like the idea that I don't. You know?
Sure.
If you've been listening to what we've all been through, feels like a lot of things have been pointing toward somebody else had plans for me that I don't know and I don't understand. And it just don't seem right, and it don't seem fair. And why does my story have to be one where I lose a bunch of people that I love?
Well, what are you going to do here?
I help Ma and Pa on the farm and do what I was doing before, you know? Ma and Pa, they make Lonestead a better place. And that's a good thing to do, too. That's good. That's 100% good. Can I try and clock what Ma, if she had any sort of reaction to 50% evil?
Yeah, roll me an insight.
Deal. That's a nat 20, no joke.
Oh, yo, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. You know, yeah, your fucking Ma.
Absolutely. You know, you do know your fucking Ma. And when you say the 50% evil thing, you meet her eye and a million different things pass between you in that moment. She wants you to feel as though she's raising her eyebrow at that statement. But at the end of the day, she's a little bit impressed. She was a little bit 50% back in her early days too, this you know.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, Ma.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, Ma.
The slit up, all that right, pencil skirt, okay, is at least 50% evil. Fuck yeah.
All right. There's a lot of percentages and feelings and plans being thrown around now, but if I could just offer my 2 cents as a humble old farmer. Would that be all right with y'all?
Yes, Ma.
Of course, Ma.
I pass her the joint.
Thank you, dear. Now, I propose that we don't make no decisions tonight. We don't put that on ourselves. Celestine, you say this is all feeling too big, and that's all right. If it's too big for you, you can stay here at Mean Pa till the rest of your days. But I promise you, there ain't no life you're going to lead that isn't going to feel too big. There ain't no life you're going to lead where you don't lose people that you love, no matter where you go. I know, my boy, you were always going to have a big life. And I get the feeling that the same is true about you, Crater, and you, Simon. But things aren't always clear, especially in the wake of a tragedy. So why don't we run a farm together for a while? We'll take it day by day.
Yes.
What do you think, Crater? Will you stick around and help us out on the farm for a while?
I would love that.
Right.
Ma, I feel like we've been talking your ear off the last couple of hours. I would love to hear about the first time that you met this little guy.
Oh, this guy right here, this handsome devil.
Celestine blushes and sort of shrinks down into his chair a bit.
Well, I tell you, it was the most beautiful night. You could see the aurora. We hardly get that in the good on wilds. And there just seemed to be an absurd number of stars in the sky. And I was out on my porch just like I was today. And he came stumbling through the weed. Naked as the day he was born. And I said, "What are you doing there, child?" And he said, "I don't know. I just wandered off." And so I said, "Well, why don't you wander on in here from being settled?" And that was that.
Wait. I'm going to put a hand on Celestine's shoulder. Is that why your last name's Wander Off? Fuck. Critter puts down the joint and just... Oh. Well, like, where do you think he came from? Because, like,
me?
That's... Yeah. That's no offense, Celestine, but like that's a little weird, right? This kid comes out of nowhere and is just like, "Hey, I'm naked. I'm living here now. Thank you for taking care of me."
Yeah, that's so weird.
You know, I didn't see the parallels there. But, yep.
It certainly wasn't routine, but I gotta say, it's no weirder than sudden tremors kicking up all across this land, or some young fae fella suddenly taking on human form, which, by the way, I ain't never heard nothing like that before.
Me either.
Yeah, it's bizarre, and ain't no weirder than, you know, a gal with a pencil skirt acting wild in her 20s ending up on a farm in Lonestead.
Hell yeah.
I learned to run with the punches, and there's one thing I understand is that I don't understand nothing. And I don't look a gift horse in the mouth. A gift T-Rex. I suspect Celestine came from exactly where he needed to come from and came exactly where he needed to go. And he left exactly when he needed to leave. And now you're back.
Yes, I am. And it is good to be back.
Hey, what's that? Can I have some? Simon points at the joint.
I mean, normally I'd say no, but you do seem to be in your 20s.
I am so
old. You just got
old.
This innocence about
I'm
you.
Eons old.
All right, well, you just take a small little toke now. This strong stuff, okay?
Okay, I've never had it before. This sounds great.
Oh, it is.
And Simon, like, takes, like, a huge, like, it just...
Oh, careful now.
It just goes all the way down the joint.
Simon, oh, no. Oh,
that's how you do it. Fuck
Paul,
yeah.
Paul, go get some water.
What is wrong?
You're still breathing?
How do you feel?
I don't know if I'm still breathing.
Yeah, it's working.
Been there. Yeah. All
right. That's called the good shit there, Simon. That's the stickiest of my icky for special occasion.
Wouldn't it be cool if I could change into a spider right now? I'm just going to do it. Watch
me.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, my Lord.
Can you?
Yeah, totally. Just give me a sec.
Okay.
He's going red in the face.
Oh.
Don't.
Now, what? Y'all right there?
I swear I thought I could do it. I don't really know what to do with this.
You've always just been able to change into whatever you wanted before.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't really think about it until just now because, you know, I'm kind of liking the new form and all. It's cool. But, yeah, I can't turn back.
Oh.
I'm sure that's just temporary. Give yourself some time. I'm sure you'll be able to figure out how to get back.
Maybe it's the weed.
Yeah.
Try again in the morning.
Yeah. I will try again in the morning. But wouldn't that be cool, though? You know, just like...
Partially, I would love to see a grown man turn into a spider, but I think the weed might have something to do with it, or the lateness of the hour. My goodness, what is 9 p.m.? I haven't stayed up this late for like 5 years.
I am so sorry to keep you up past your bedtime, Ma. We've been kind of living a nightlife for the last little while in Paragarden, and it's pretty usual if we don't get to bed till the sun's on its way up, so just kind of all out of whack from farm life.
Well, look at this here city boy.
Oh, Ma, no.
I swear I'm a good influence on him.
Now, look here, Crater. I can tell that you're a good influence on him. Don't you worry.
Crater let me sleep in his bathtub when I first got into trouble in Nia Vega. He was the first person I met.
Yeah.
That's very fine of you.
Yeah. No, I was dealing drugs out of that apartment, but, like, you know, it was safe.
Safety first when you're dealing drugs. I know all about that.
Okay. Yeah. Ma, have you ever done rat?
Oh, no.
I think Ma exchanges a glance with Pa and then, like, shake, like, no, oh, no, no. Absolutely not.
Inside check.
No, me and Pa ain't never done nothing higher than a little moonshine.
Nope, nothing. Ma, I think it's time for bed.
Yeah, I must agree with you there, Pa. No more conversation about what drugs your old mom and Pa done did.
Pa, maybe tomorrow we can take a look at that hawk and see if we can't modify it some to get rid of the Diplo signifiers.
Pa looks into his cup of tea with some freshly squeezed Triceratop milk.
Ooh.
And looks deep into it for a long time. What's wrong? What's wrong with you guys?
Unpasteurized Triceratops.
I'm just imagining like a teacup Triceratops on the counter that he just squeezes and it squirts milk into the cup. Yeah,
it's a little bit green.
Yeah.
He looks deep into his cup and kind of like looks up at you a couple times, almost like trying to meet your gaze, but like seems like he can't on his end. And he just says, sure, son, I'd love to help you with that. But it's late and We got a big day tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, Paul.
Okay. Well, time to... Hey, Ma. Come on.
All right. Now, you fellas, there's some mattresses, extra mattresses laid out in Celestine's bedroom. If any of y'all have nightmares, just wake us up and we'll see y'all. Well, we'll let you sleep in tomorrow morning. So don't worry about that. We'll come get you.
All right. Thank you again for everything.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. And thank you so much for looking after my boy, Celestine. And then there's like a quick peppering of kisses for everybody. No.
As Ma is like giving me a little pepper of a kiss, I might just like into her pocket, I'll slip a couple pieces of rat.
Oh, dope! Yeah!
Holy shit!
Yeah, her and Pa got a great name.
And now I also left some earplugs in there. No reason. I just think y'all should wear them.
Y'all best be wearing them.
I always wore them when I used to sleep here. Ma and Pa told me that the Triceratopses get real loud at night, mm-hmm. so I always just put my earplugs in.
Cranky and loud, that's right. Ma, we gotta go right now.
All right, let's go.
And so the three of you tuck into your beds at Ma and Pa's. Accustomed to the ambience of a city, it takes you a while to get used to the sounds of the farm at night. The katydids chirping, the gentle breeze blowing through the weed fields, the rhythmic and distinctive sound of Pa snoring, audible even over your earplugs should you choose to wear them.
Crater, Celestine.
Hmm?
Are you guys sleeping?
Not anymore.
Oh.
Hey, Jinx.
So you were.
Yeah, that's okay, though. What's up, Simon?
I don't know what sleep is.
Oh, my stars. Okay.
They don't sleep, I don't think. Okay. And, like, spiders don't have any eyelids.
What?
Spiders don't
is
have
that true?
Oh, oh, my shit. God. Oh, I hate it.
You know what? Now that you say it, I don't remember seeing you blink.
But you should. It's real dry.
Yeah, I gotta remember to dry. But it's okay. So I close my eyes and reduce my activity levels. And lower my metabolic rate to conserve energy. And I just sit there.
That's the gist of it.
Right?
You can lie there. You can lie down if it's more comfortable.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't recommend standing like you are right now.
Right, okay. Yeah. Step one. Yeah. All right. Okay, I'm getting down. I'm going down. Laying down.
Do you want, like, a warm glass of milk or something?
Yes, I would like some. I would like that very much.
Fresh out of the Triceratops.
It's green.
Yeah, that you don't get used to that.
It takes you a while to find sleep that first night. with Simon's introduction to the very concept, and what with the sounds of green milk being lapped by a mouth that has not drank human milk or Triceratops milk before. God, I hated the way I phrased that.
Pretty horrific.
And even on top of that, it's hard to sleep because, well, I mean, all of you, even Simon, are haunted by ill feelings, memories of tsunamis and whales and lost friends. Though you do drift off eventually. The next day, Ma and Pa let you sleep in until 6 a.m. before waking you up to a giant breakfast and putting you all to work. You busy yourselves, tending to the crops and the livestock, rolling and packaging dime bags and joints, and gathering in the kitchen in the evening to prepare and eat dinner together as a group. And so you fall asleep a bit quicker the next night, and even faster the night after that, and so on. And some days pass. Ma and Pa are gentle. They don't pry, they don't push for future plans, explanations, reasons. You simply wake up, you tend to the farm's immediate needs, you eat together, you play cards in the evening, you hit the sack early, and there's something comforting about that. You avoid going into town those first few days. You tend to your wounds as best you can. You begin to accustom yourselves to the rhythm of life on the farm, and the world beyond Lonestead seems comfortingly distant for now.
I think Celestine would, seeing as Pa's been, you know, a bit distant, I would love to find some time to specifically be working with Pa in his shop. So it's just the two of us for a little bit. You know, hopefully he'll be a little more open if it's just he and I. Pa, I am I'm real sorry that I wasn't in touch after what happened in Paragarden, but, I mean, you heard the story. I couldn't really be in touch. I know I worried you, but here I am.
8 times, Celestine. 8 times your ma went all the way to the city, checked her pip for an update. 8 times she went out there and we didn't hear nothing from you. And, you know, you send us one message saying you're going up on stage for CGA. Next thing we know, the city's underwater. We don't hear nothing.
I know. But after that, we had to get away from the city. We had to get away from the communication towers, and we were trying to lay low. You know, there's people out there looking for us, powerful people. I'm sorry, Pa. I really am. But I want you to know that I was always thinking about y'all. I mean, heck, you heard the song. That's from you. And everything I know about driving, that's what I've been doing this whole time, Paul. That's how I got started. I've been driving. So how could I not be thinking about you?
Well, I wonder that myself, but not your ma. You know, she was always, every day, first thing, go out and check to see if there's a pip update. Celestine, we understand that you're in something bigger than we could understand. You know, maybe your ma could understand, but, this is all I've ever known is the farm and the things that I work on here, and I'm just, I'm so grateful to have you back, but if you leave again, you gotta message your mom more often. Not once every couple of seasons, and especially not once right before a city gets flooded, Celestine.
Now, to be fair, I didn't know it was gonna get flooded.
Well, you know, you put yourself in this big festival or whatever it is, and then I'm just saying that if you hadn't done that, you might not... Doesn't matter. It's fine. I'm glad you're home. But we were real worried for a long time. I had never seen your ma like that.
I'm so sorry, Pa. I really am.
You're gonna go again, aren't you?
Don't know, ain't decided. But, you know, long as we're talking about it, and you, like you said, this is where you've been your whole life. Nobody I ever met knows good on wilds like you. So I was wondering, did you ever hear of a woman named Steeljaw McGraw?
Steeljaw? Well, how do you know Steeljaw?
Well, I met lots of people since I've been gone, and...
You met Steeljaw?
No, I ain't never met Steeljaw, but I met another McGraw.
Oh, yeah, the McGraws are all over the
good
ones. Yeah, Steeljaw has been buying weed from Ma for some time.
No kidding. See, I was told that that Steeljaw's the person to see if you were made off the grid.
Okay.
I think that is my situation. You know that I don't remember much from before I found y'all, but I was trying to find my maker, at least in part, and I got told by some Diplos. Well, not told so much, but I found out that my prints aren't registered.
Okay, well, first of all, you know that you're not supposed to be talking to any Diplos at all, ever.
Celestine, there's a little tear from Celestine as he thinks about Riot and how much Riot would have very much liked Pa.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I know. I didn't say nothing.
And second of all, I'm Steeljaw can be helpful in cases where you might need to, You should be careful with Steeljaw. She's I just find her... Ma does all the dealing with her. I find her absolutely terrifying. But, you know, maybe you should talk to your ma about this. In fact, you know, Steeljaw's still buying weed from Ma and sends over someone pretty regularly to pick it up, so...
But it's true, then, that Steeljaw knows how to get in touch with off-the-grid makers.
I don't rightly know anything about that. I know that Steeljaw deals with some counterfeit stuff and just got a good track record for helping people out when they need help. But typically deals with dangerous materials such as weapons. I've got no problem with Steeljaw. I'm a bit hesitant about you just going over there and, you know, asking something of Steeljaw without having something in return.
Understood. All right. Well, we'll see what Ma has to say about it, I suppose. But I ain't even sure I need to know. Pa, everything about me, it all says that I was made just a few years ago, but I had memories from before I was here that, I mean, it don't make no sense, but it stretches back thousands of years, Paul. I don't know how I could know these things. And, I don't know, a part of me wants to just put it to bed, close the book on it all, but, I mean, is that possible? Is that possible that I could have, or a part of me could have been around for a long time like that? And if that's the case, I don't know. Maybe I should find out more about where I came from.
I think that everybody should know where they came from, and you deserve to know. And I don't know what you're saying about having memories that go back that far. That sounds, it's difficult for me to understand and comprehend and grasp that. But if that's what you got to do, then you gotta find out where you came from. And I wish we had those answers for you, but we don't. All we got for you is a place to stay and some warm Triceratops milk whenever you'd like. And it's so green this time of year.
It was surprisingly green. I don't feel like I've ever remembered it that green. What have you been feeding them this year?
Just weed.
Why is it that every time we talk about food on this podcast, it's disgusting?
Well, what do you think we can do about this hawk?
Roll a d6 for me.
Ooh. 5.
You and Pa set to work on the hawk. It's not hard. You put some paint on it. But as you kind of spend the rest of the day with him, you know, chatting, talking about things that are important, talking about things that aren't, and putting a fresh coat of paint. By the way, what color do you pick for the paint job?
Oh, crucial question.
Oh, can we do it like indigo with some stars on it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You mix a couple paint colors to get that exact shade, and you spend some time doing it, and the whole day goes by. Like, Pa's got chores that need doing, but you start to realize that he just would prefer to spend his day with you. Neither of you notice that the rain picks up outside. Acid rain. And this is common in the Good on Wilds. You've experienced it many times, and you know, even from driving out here, that it's a bit more common these days. But you notice something out of the corner of your eye. There's something sparking in the middle of a wheat field. Pa kind of sees it right after you do, and he's just like, oh, dang it. And then he walks to the garage door, and he holds out his hand, and you can see like a little bit of like sizzle on his hand. And he's just like, one of my goddamn robots is fucking... Sorry, Celestine. One of my darn robots is... looks like she's malfunctioning out there. You stay in here, and I'm going to try and... get her fixed up.
Oh, I'll come help you.
Oh, no. So I know, I understand your frame. It's a bit delicate. Just let me deal with it. He walks up there, and you just see, like cartoon style, he walks up to the robot, and like an electrical, like a lightning bolt from entirely around him, and he just like kind of stands in place as he gets like fully fucking shocked from this robot that he's trying to fix, and like black smoke is coming up from the top of his head after he's just like standing stock still in the field. And you see this robot takes off and it's just like wreaking havoc and running super fast between the wheat fields and between the wheat stalks. What would you like to do?
Is Pa okay? Like,
he looks fine. He's just like, he's the cartoon style, like
like charcoal blackened from getting fully shocked, and his like hand is still outstretched, like trying to fix it, and this thing is like gone.
Like fucking Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, fully.
is the would you consider the robot a humanoid?
Nope.
Damn it. All right.
Specifically a robot, not an android. This is one of Pa's machines to help pluck the weed.
I mean, I'll just go run after it.
Okay.
Let's not overthink it, I guess.
How fast can you run?
25 feet.
This thing is going 75 feet.
Oh my god. Okay. I'm gonna cast a guiding bolt on it. I'm gonna fire up the light gun and take a blast at this thing and just try and put it down so it stops moving.
Roll the hit.
That's a 31.
Oh my god.
What the fuck? Okay, roll damage.
Uh-oh. That is 17 radiant damage.
Okay. You fully explode this tiny robot. And you stand out here outside in the rain, and you notice that, like, when you were younger, when you first got here, you wouldn't have been able to stand out here this long. And you also notice that you've been taking a little bit of damage. And at your current level, it's negligible. We don't have to get into it. But when you were younger... by a couple months, this would have put you out. And as you like stand with your gun out, having guiding bolted this robot, Pa kind of comes up to you and puts a hand on your shoulder, and he's just like, "That was one of my best robots."
Yeah, I think Moloch throws open an upstairs window, and she's like, "Now did I just see a goddamn guiding bolt go into my crop of weed?"
I'm sorry, Pa. I'm sorry, Ma. It would look like it was destroying everything.
Blowing up my weed with them guiding bolts. Y'all up no good out there. Now come on in here.
Pa, I'll help you build another one.
And back into the garage you go with Pa to build another robot and finish your work on the Hawk.
So let's say this is the same day you two have, like, you know, gotten up, you're doing some random tasks around the house, Simon and Crater. Can I get one of you to roll a d4?
I'll do it.
Hell yeah.
Oh, that's a 4.
So you hear Ma, like, upstairs hollering out the window. She comes back downstairs. She's like, "Those boys out there just wrecking the place. Just wrecking it." It's kind of nice, I'm not going to lie. Well... and it looks like that acid shower is starting to clear up and wait a second. And she like looks from the sky over to her like calendar, and then she runs to a closet and like whips out this giant farmer's almanac and starts flipping through it and be like, "Crater Wayne, you look at that window. You tell me if you see things falling from the sky down to earth."
There is definitely some stuff falling from the sky down to earth, Ma.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. I need some help, you boys. I forgot that today's a 24-hour meteor shower, and good Lord, if I don't get any meteor fragments out of it this time, I'm gonna pitch just a fit.
Okay.
All right. All right, let's go hop on the tractor.
Okay, as we're, like, running outside, I'll, like, do the gentlemanly thing and, like, try to shield a little bit of the rain from Ma. Like put my hands over her head as we're walking out there.
Oh, well, that's real nice, but ain't nothing saving this skin at this point. All right, fellas, each of you, I need you to be spotting where they're landed in the distance and guide me on this tractor, okay? We need to find ourselves one of these meteors. We're going to gather up some shrapnel. And I'll have both of you roll an investigation check.
You guys better roll good. Don't disappoint my Ma.
That was not a great first impression. Yeah, Ma, I rolled a 14, so I'll tell you exactly what I see in about 10 seconds.
I think this is Simon's first roll.
It's my first roll. I have a -1 on investigation, so...
Oh,
17.
You know what? Inspiration.
Oh!
Let's make it a good first one.
+3! 20!
Yay!
Yay!
So... let's go to Crater spot first. Perhaps you like direct Ma around a couple of hoodoos and you get there and it's just like, you know, various detritus. You keep holding up rocks. Ma's going, nah, it's not meteor. It's not meteor. And then Simon from the corner.
Fuck, I'm bad at this.
From the corner of your eye, you see a pretty hefty chunk coming down, and you just managed to catch like which hoodoo you need to dodge around, and finally you come upon this like smoking pit. And Ma's like, "Oh shit, this is the good stuff, y'all."
All right, now careful for your little fingies, but collect as much as you can, all right?
Okay, Ma.
All right, okay. Now I said careful with your fingies. Ow. It's really hot. It's hot. Crater, you all right there?
Actually, I'm resistant to fire.
Are you now?
This is fine. Yeah.
Well, dang, Simon, maybe we could let Crater collect this because it sounds like you hurt your little fingies there.
Fingies, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, absolutely. Bring them over here.
That's nice. That's nice. I've never had that before.
Well, anytime you need a little kissy on your fingies, you just come up.
Thanks, Ma.
Oh, I love Ma so much.
Ain't nothing to it. Now, how's it going there, Crater?
Oh, I'm getting lots of this.
You getting lots of shards? All right, bring it on up here. I'm going to test its quality.
Now, what are you doing with these exactly?
Oh, meteor fragments are just chock full of vitamins, nutrients, and druid magic. I can't tell you how disappointed I was to miss the last one. I had the flu. And, oh, yeah, this is good. This is good. We need to wait for this to cool down. And, well, I think I can fashion these things into a little treat for everybody.
A treat?
A little treat. A little treat for everybody. Y'all interested in a treat?
I love treats.
Yeah.
All right, Crater. Now I've got some of them human fingies, too. So if you wouldn't mind just carrying those back to the farmhouse.
Yeah, you got them all.
You boys sure are helpful. So you make your way back to the farmhouse, and Bob like brings you into the kitchen. You pour some water and milk to temper the meteor fragments, and she sets to work. She shows you how to like, you know, chip away at these things to get to the like especially potent stuff at the core. And then she collects a few of the shards, does some chants over them, and then hands you each one and pockets the rest. And basically what she's done to these shards is that she's turned them into a vessel. So any spellcaster can store a spell in a meteor fragment, and it'll last for 1 week. You set a code word, and anyone with the code word can use the spell without expending a spell slot, without using consumables, or without having the required spellcasting ability.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Sick. We have to find someone with a wish spell and then walk around with that.
Well, that's a little out of my capabilities, but, you know, I know y'all say y'all staying for a while. And Crater, maybe you're taking off. Simon, maybe you are, maybe you are not. But if you need a little magic for the road, you can ask old mom.
Thank you. This is great, actually. Yeah, awesome.
I couldn't have done it without y'all.
I never want to leave.
Oh, you don't have to leave, Simon. You can stay here your next 1,000 years if you like.
Thank you.
I'm sitting over here getting so misty at you guys getting along so well with Ma. This is so sweet.
You're still in a doghouse for burning down like, what is it, like a quarter hectare of weed with that there radiant damage cells.
I'm sorry, Ma.
Yeah, sorry indeed.
I was just trying to help.
Don't worry, Pa's equally in the doghouse.
Oh. Wait, you're using the Triceratops milk for the fucking meteor fragments? I told you, water is just fine.
No, the milk gives them a little something like a sheen, you know?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Protects it from the acid rain.
It's green.
And it's green. It's
so green.
I think Ma's chastising of Pa and Celestine sort of continues to escalate until it becomes clear that she wants y'all to go out there and like actually clear up and replant some weed in that very special Ma way of like wanting you to realize that you have to do that yourself and then you'll be out of the doghouse. And so she accompanies you outside and, you know, perhaps on the way out the door, she's like, now, Crater, Simon, can I get y'all to just maybe heat something up for us for when we get back?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we can totally figure that out all by ourselves.
Love to hear it. And off she goes.
Got to us standing in front of the oven.
What's that?
Do you know how to work one of these things?
Nope.
I've only ever gotten takeout.
You made cookies with Riot in your own apartment.
Fuck. Okay.
Not without drugs in there, he doesn't know how to do.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
so different. Okay. You know what? I got an idea. Mm. I'll just pour some milk into a bowl and then I'll put that in the oven.
Warm.
We'll see what we get.
Warm milk. See what you're doing there. That's good. That's good. I like warm milk.
It'll be something.
How long you leaving it in there?
17 minutes at 450.
Okay. 475. So, come on, we want it to be done.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
475, 17 minutes, and, you know, quite pleased with yourselves. You crack open the oven door at the end and are just met with, like, a crackled, hardened, evaporated milk that's, like, crusted along the inside of the bowl.
Where'd the milk go?
and a puff of weed smoke.
That's right.
Okay, grab the bowl, shove it into Simon's hands. Go outside and bury this. We do not want Ma to know that we ruined one of her bowls.
Okay, but ow.
Right, sorry. I keep forgetting that you can feel stuff.
Goes away. Simon goes to bury it. Makes a mound, you know? Like, isn't very stealthy.
It's so obvious.
I want to know how bad the stealth is. So can you roll me like a stealth?
Absolutely. Okay.
At disadvantage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's between 5 and 6. And yeah. So 5.
Great. So that attempt was made. Is there anything else you'd like to try?
Would I have found anything outside that might be especially enticing to pluck from...
Oh,
the plant. Yummy
dope
thing.
I love that. Yeah, definitely. As you look up, you're like, you're burying this bowl in like the softest earth you could find as soon as you got outside and realize that you're kind of crouching right in front of a greenhouse. And there do seem to be some like plump zooks and tomatoes.
Zooks.
Zooks and toms.
Crater!
Why are
There's
you yelling?
Yummy things in the greenhouse.
Okay. Let's pick 5 of them and then bring it back and do dinner.
What do you call this one?
I, for the life of me, could not tell you. Gun to my head, no idea.
Cool. It's either a zucchini or a tomato.
That's okay. I'll ask Ma. Hope it doesn't disappear like the milk.
Wait, are you putting it in the oven?
Yes.
Same amount of time, same temperature?
No, we're going to broil it this time.
Dope. I mean, you know, broiled zucchini and tomato doesn't sound so bad. It is a bit charred on top, maybe. Actually, why don't we roll something for this?
Ooh.
I don't know if milk stands a chance, but maybe the zooks and toms do. So let's let's have someone roll a
roll a cooking check.
Yeah, well, how about
I say survival.
I will do it.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
I will do it.
Okay, yes. I trust your survival more than mine.
Okay. 17?
Hey.
Oh, okay. The exact number of minutes that you leave it in fact. And Simon, you're standing by. You're like waiting for the right moment, and then you just yank the oven open and pull them out, and they're a little bit charred on top. Some of the tomatoes have popped, but it's just kind of like, you know, everything's soaked in this nice tomato-y juices. Zucchinis are tender. It looks like a perfectly passable little meal of Tom and Zook.
Simon grabs one of the tomatoes and puts it in his mouth and starts to chew with like a bit of a frown.
It's very hot. So very hot.
Very hot. It tastes like pain, but once that dissipates, it tastes like dew on a beautiful summer morning.
Mm. Oh, nice. Well, I think at this point, Ma and Pa and Celestine come trundling back in, perhaps a little dusty, covered in weed, and Ma smells what's cooking and is like, well, someone got out of my greenhouse, but it smells real nice in here.
We don't know what they are.
Y'all don't know what these are?
Nope.
You don't know what tomatoes and zucchini are?
Now, Simon, I understand, but you're telling me, Crater Wayne, you don't know what a tomato is?
You know, now that you say it, I'm like, of course, but like I didn't know they grew on bushes.
Well, golly, that's well, hey, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff about city life that I don't understand. Now, if one of y'all could just grab that real nice bowl, the one I use for milk, and we'll just pile that in and we'll share it
at
the table.
I buried it.
Yeah, I know you did, darling. You rolled real low on your stealth and I saw it on the way. I'm just roasting you.
Just roast.
Sort of similar to the way you roasted these.
Such a kidder.
We have fun around here. I'll tell you what, this is just fantastic. And it's so fantastic, I'm not mad at you anymore, Pa.
What will I do?
I mean, you let Celestine blast a hole in our wheat. Look, we're not getting back into this. We went out, we cleaned it up. I'm feeling great.
About to enjoy some zook. That's such a fucking dad response. Being like, what? I don't understand why you're still mad at me. What did I do wrong?
Marvelous. And it is a marvelous dinner.
You know, it's simple, it's delicious, it's nutritious. It tastes like dew on a beautiful morning, much as Simon described it.
Ratatouille a la Simon and Crater.
Room to grow.
Absolutely. Another quiet evening on the farm. Ma, Simon, and Celestine end up sitting by the fire, poring over an almanac, strategically noting again on Ma's calendar which days are astronomically best for planting and sowing her druid magic and harvesting various crops, weed and otherwise. And at the kitchen table, Pa and Crater engage in a tense game of canasta, their 10th match of the night. And just as Crater beats Pa for the 5th time that night, and just as Pa rises to make a pot of tea, a knock comes out the door. Pa exchanges a glance with Ma, who checks her watch.
Ain't no one knocking on this door past 8 p.m. except for wanderers and scrappers looking to trade.
And though Crater, Celestine, and Simon begin to tense up, Ma soothes you with a hand on the shoulder and a finger to her lips. She leaves the room, and for a moment there is silence, before you hear her call again.
It's all right, y'all.
And before you can reply, you hear the sound of a door opening.
I wonder when Steeljaw be sending you around.
And a voice replies.
Much obliged, Ma.
A figure walks into the foyer behind Ma. He's tall, slender, floral-bloused, a cloud android. His gaze flits over the room before landing squarely on Crater, spending a long, drawn-out moment to take in every inch of him.
Bola, that you? I never thought I'd see you again.
Hi, Arbor.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.